This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. A white man named Mark Colau has been taken into custody for allegedly driving his car through a group of protesters in St. Louis, Missouri. The protest was being held to mark the police killing of a transgender woman named Kiwi Herring. Three people were injured. The incident comes just weeks after Heather Hare was killed in Charlottesville, Virginia, when a Nazi protester plowed his car into activists. Right-wing extremists have been celebrating such tactics online, and they appear to have support from some state legislatures that are shockingly considering dropping penalties for drivers that hit protesters. The bills appear to be in response to the effectiveness of actions by groups like Black Lives Matter and water protectors at Standing Rock. None have become law as yet. My guest is Zaid Jilani. He's a journalist and a writer for The Intercept and a former reporter and blogger for Think Progress, United Republic, the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, and Alternet. And he's been writing about these issues. Welcome to the program, Zaid.
That's great to be here.
So first, let's talk about the fact that this is even a thing at all. It's just kind of bizarre that we would have a situation where not one, but several states are considering basically making it legal for a driver to hit protesters. In any other situation, if somebody drives their car and hits a pedestrian, that person is likely to face some kind of charge because your vehicle can be used as a weapon. Where did this originate? Where did it come from that lawmakers are considering it, making it okay for drivers to hit protesters and not face penalties?
Yeah, so basically, first we should understand the bills. So the bills are actually fairly similar to each other, whether you're talking about legislation in Tennessee, in North Carolina or elsewhere. Basically, what the bills would say is that there cannot be a civil liability, meaning you can't take someone to court and, for instance, sue them for damages if they are hitting protesters with their cars in a manner that's ruled to be accidental. Now, obviously, as the law currently stands, if somebody commits any crime, a judge can determine whether or not it was an accident, whether it was intentional, whether it was, preconceived and, it was actually premeditated. That's already, sort of currently in the law. So this is sort of doing is it's offering an additional immunity, and it's limited to protests, which is really interesting because, as you mentioned, people can hit a pedestrian with their car in many different circumstances. So it's interesting to just have a shield for this. And so, I talked to one person who had worked against the bill in Tennessee, and in Tennessee, the bill actually did. It hasn't passed anywhere, but it didn't get very far there. It died in committee there. And basically what they told me was that this was about was that there have been a lot of protests at the state capitol recently. And I think that's part of what made the concern in North Carolina, where the one chamber actually did pass the bill. However, it has not passed the other chamber. In that state, you're seeing a lot of Black Lives Matter protesters block highways and roads and bridges as part of their tactics and their strategy. So I think a lot of lawmakers are looking at these bills and saying, hey, we have a lot of these incidents happening right now where our roadways are being blocked by protesters. And what they're saying is that it's very likely at some point someone will hit a protester with their car and they'll end up facing damages. And basically they're saying these bills will protect them from that because it wasn't intentional. It doesn't necessarily mean that it would only protect people who do it unintentionally, because, like, for instance, the North Carolina bill talks about people who are exercising due care. That's the phrase. Now, obviously, the phrase exercising due care is something that would have to be interpreted by the courts and by judges. And you could easily see judges who are unsympathetic to protesters or sympathetic to people who would intentionally hit protesters with their cars as feeling like the person was justified in doing so and that they weren't intentionally trying to harm someone. So with these bills, I think what they're doing is they're creating, unfortunately, a legal environment where drivers would feel safer about actually hitting protesters with their cars. And we all understand, particularly if you live in a place that has a lot of protests, that protests can block roadways, they can block your traffic, and it can be annoying, and people can snap, and they can, whether it's premeditated or not, hit protesters with their cars. And so I think that's the real danger of this legislation, in that it would actually encourage people to think it's actually okay if they were to do that, because hey, now they have an immunity shield to doing so.
And we're not just talking about hitting protesters. We're talking about even, I mean, do the bills actually spell out that if someone gets killed in the process, that it would limit the liability of the driver?
Well, I think, I'm looking at the North Carolina, the HB 330. In that bill, I believe the language is saying that if they injure another person who is participating in a protest or a demonstration or blocking traffic in a public right of way. So I don't think they necessarily mention deaths here, but they do mention injury. And honestly, the two sponsors of the North Carolina bill were very defensive after Charlottesville because they were claiming that their bill has nothing to do with that. But I mean, it's not only the text of the bill that's the problem, it's the perception the bills would create. You can say your bill is very narrowly defined just to, specific form of injury and someone who's doing it, who's exercising due care, meaning they're not intentionally trying to hit someone. But, a lot of people would read the law and the text of the legislation and say that, hey, actually, that gives me a license to hurt someone or kill someone, especially if it can't be proven.
Let's also talk about the fact that it's ironic that this is coming at the same time that you are seeing Islamic State, people who are aligning themselves with the Islamic State in Europe using a tactic like this to kill innocent people. I mean, it's just the parallels to me are kind of pretty obvious, right? You've got people who use their cars as weapons to make a point, and they have actually killed and injured people in various European cities. Meanwhile, here in the US, we're having right-wing commentators encourage this kind of behavior, and then lawmakers, primarily with the Republican Party, moving to support that. I mean, those are pretty strong parallels.
Well, I think it is slightly different, although you're right. The tactic of the use of the car is fairly new. It's something we've only seen in the past few years in a systematic way, meaning people are being inspired by other people to do it. However, it is slightly different in that I think what you're seeing with the European car attacks is that it's people who are trying to commit acts of terrorism based on a premeditated fashion, meaning that they have planned it, thought it out, did it, go to a crowded place. Whereas I think what's happening in the United States, and it's actually been happening several years, I think since Occupy Wall Street, I've seen commentators, right-wing commentators talking about this. It's more of a manner of someone stuck in traffic. They don't like the protesters blocking the traffic, so they're going to plow through them. They're both, of course, blatantly illegal acts, and they can injure and kill people. But I think they are actually being done in a slightly different manner, which is an important distinction. However, as you mentioned, I think one of the other distinctions is that people here in the United States would encourage it. There are radio show hosts who have said things like that. There are other people who work in the right-wing advocacy sphere who have said things like that. And we also have legislators who are trying to limit your accountability and increase your immunity for doing it, as we've mentioned here, which I don't think we've seen anywhere in Europe, anyone trying to introduce legislation such as this.
Now, these bills have primarily come in response, as you said, to protesters who have blocked streets as an action, as part of civil disobedience campaigns. The U.S. has a long tradition of having this, particularly on the left. These are tactics that draw attention to causes. In recent years, Black Lives Matter have used these tactics, but many groups, many organizations have used these, people who are involved in the immigrant rights movements. Does this response from the right indicate that these tactics are effective, that people really do grab attention? I mean, they're meant to disrupt, right? In a peaceful, nonviolent way, but still disrupt.
Right. So actually, I wrote another article, this was probably half a year ago, about the history of this tactic and how it's used in different situations. Actually, one of the places that pioneered it was in Washington, D.C., where I am now. It was actually a janitors union. Justice for Janitors was their campaign, and they actually would block roadways in the D.C. area to try to call attention to, unionized janitorial workers. They said that if they had demonstrations in their buildings, it would barely impact anyone and no one would really know. So they started moving out to highways and things. And actually, I think they changed the law. They actually changed the penalties when that was happening too, to make the penalties harsher for blocking a roadway during a protest. They certainly didn't try to legalize anyone hitting them with a car or anything of that extreme, but they did actually make the penalties worse because, yes, it was effective. it was moving the needle. And I think that's often when you see this legislation, you're seeing it because people do believe that it is causing the disruption that it intends to cause. And one other note I should make, I'm sure some people are wondering, you know, how safe is it to actually block an active highway or something like that during a protest without a permit? When I was doing that course of that, when I was in the course of writing that article, I actually talked to a number of organizers who had been part of these highway shutdowns. And what some of them told me is actually what they do is they get some friendly drivers who are sympathetic to the cause to go into the road in the flow of traffic and actually intentionally slow it down so that people can start crossing the highway. So I think they do take some measures to make it a more safe thing to do. I mean, I do think that when you're part of these things, you do have to prioritize safety, whether people would intentionally try to harm you or not. I mean, in many cases, there could be accidental harm. But as far as I know, and I've followed this pretty closely, there has not actually been any injuries or deaths unintentionally from these tactics as they've been used over the past couple of years. I think the people doing them are actually exercising a fair bit of caution, which I think gets back to the point of this legislation, and that these bills are supposedly out there to offer civil immunity to people who would accidentally hit someone during a protest. But as far as I know, no one has accidentally done it. I mean,
so
what we saw
just like
is how it happened, right?
This is very much part of the kind of fictitious issues that the right wing takes up, these causes that they take up to justify bills that they're passing. You know, I'm thinking of the allegations of mass voter fraud in order to try to strip actual voting rights from people when studies have shown there is negligible voter fraud. So in this particular case, there really is no such trend of accidentally hitting protesters blocking streets, but it's then turned into a tool to make it harder for people to block streets, and even shockingly to effectively encourage drivers from into hitting protesters. How often has it happened in the U.S. as far as you know? I know that there have been some right-wing compilations online of people plowing their cars into protesters before Heather
right.
Heyer's death. I don't think people were really paying attention to this as a common
right.
tactic.
I believe there was a Daily Caller piece that I think did create a compilation of people doing that. They did it because they found it amusing. I think Fox Nation, the website, picked it up. And yeah, like you said, this is largely an intentional thing that people do. They get angry at there's protesters in the road and they just plow through. They don't want to be stopped. They're late to something. They lose their cool. It's fairly all intentional. Some people do actually encourage it and find it amusing, which is unfortunate because it's a very dangerous thing to do. I don't think all the details have come out about exactly what happened with the young man in Charlottesville to the extent that he had actually preconceived this or the extent that he planned it out. Or what the circumstances were. I'm sure we will get that story eventually as the court proceedings go through. But I think in most cases, it's exactly what you were describing, in that people see these demonstrations happening, they grow frustrated, and you know they do something which they shouldn't be doing, which is they actually try to drive through people.
Hmm. Now, you also very recently wrote, if we're talking about the right making it harder for people to protest, you also wrote about these efforts to try to get protesters to pay for police overtime for actions that they're taking. Let's talk about this as well, because it seems to be part of the bigger picture of really clamping down on people's right to assemble and protest in the United States.
Right. So there actually are some lawmakers in Pennsylvania. The chief lawmaker, Scott Martin, he actually represents a district in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. And in Lancaster County is the site of a major natural gas pipeline that's being built. And there's been a ton of protests around that pipeline, basically people blockading it, doing civil disobedience, getting arrested. And actually, he introduced a bill that said that if you are arrested, either for a felony or even a misdemeanor during the course of protests, that you would be liable for whatever costs or damages, let's say the police or fire services or EMS bring towards. So that means that basically, let's say you get arrested, you might pay a small fine for doing a civil disobedience action. Instead of just paying that fine for that one act you did, they might put you liable for all the police overtime that was spent on that protest or all the fire services that were spent on that protest, which is actually very problematic because in the United States, I mean, one of our core principles of law is that you can only be held liable for the crime you commit, right? this is basically putting them on the hook for everything related to the protest, even if maybe their crime was, you know, not moving when the police asked them to move from the road or from a certain location, which is a completely different thing. So one, that's a huge constitutional issue. And two, it targets protesters, right? So police might, you know, or fire, you know, they might come to your house to get a cat out of a tree, right? But you're not held liable for all the costs associated with that. I mean, you're a taxpayer, you pay for, you know, we all pay for these services, but you're not, there's no extra cost added onto that. They're specifically targeting protesters in this bill. And the text of the bill actually talks a lot about the Dakota Access Pipeline, which isn't in Pennsylvania. Of course, it's in North Dakota and up in the Midwest. And it cites all the different costs associated with that, which is also kind of a tell that this is really about pipeline protests. I mean, they're trying to suppress people doing the pipeline protests, which are most effective, I think, when we've seen these civil disobedience actions, because those really slow down the actual pipeline. So, yeah, I think this one's a very, very full and frontal attack on protesting and, you know, civil disobedience, perhaps even more so than the other bill we discussed, because I think this one would target such a broad swath of people in such a specific sort of protest action that's threatening to an industry that it's really galling that they would introduce it.
Well, and this is coming from many of the same people that are claiming to support free speech and are upset with the left for wanting to prevent white nationalists from bringing their hateful ideology forward. You know, if this is not an attack on the right of Americans to express their free speech and to exercise their right to free speech, I don't know what is. I mean, it's just quite ironic.
You know, I think that that's the unfortunate thing. You know, free speech doesn't have a lot of principled defenders. I mean, obviously we have the ACLU doing their lawsuits, so on and so forth. But unfortunately, I think some people, you know, they'll claim to support it, except when this free speech is against their beliefs or against their interests. And I think particularly what we've seen across the southern states that are doing, one, the bill with the protesters and the driver immunity, and then the second in Pennsylvania, which is very narrowly seems to be targeting pipeline protesters. We're seeing people basically try to weaken the free speech rights of someone they happen to disagree with. I mean, I think, you know, should they, if they disagree with these things, they can have their own protest, right? They're lawmakers. They have big public microphones. They have plenty of things they can do. The last thing they should be trying to do is try to make it either more expensive or even dangerous for someone to simply have a different point of view from them and to be demonstrating those rights under the First Amendment, which protects everyone, no matter your belief system.
Well, Zaid, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post links to your articles in The Intercept from our website so people can read them. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
My guest is Zaid Jilani. He's a journalist and writer for The Intercept, and we've been discussing how some states are considering dropping penalties for drivers that plow through protesters. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.